At that time, the Lord appointed also other 72, and he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself was to come. And he said to the laborers, and he said to them, the harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Into whatsoever house you enter, first said, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall return to you. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they have, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Remove not from house to house, and into what city soever you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. The words of the most holy gospel. And Father and Son and Holy Ghost, amen. So dear friends, this is the great feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola. It's a great feast, a great saint for this moment. You have to imitate many things for St. Ignatius. As a reminder, he came in the 16th century, and he fought precisely in the first half of the 16th century. And it is important to remember that, because it's the context of the Protestant Revolution. So that was the Martin Luther and a third of Europe going Protestant. Also, it's the time in which Abuelo Guadalupe is rescuing America from paganism, bringing them to the Catholic faith. The numbers that Europe lost to the Catholic faith, Abuelo Guadalupe recovered in America, same numbers. But St. Ignatius was born in that moment, in which the Council of Trent appeared also. He was still in the peak of his work. And the context is very important, because St. Ignatius, he was a soldier. And what happened? He was injured, gravely injured in his leg. He was not able to walk. He has to be on bed for a long time. So that was the providence of God. He started reading books of saints. And he told himself, okay, if those saints did such great things for God, there in the army of God to defeat the enemies of God, they were able to do such great things, why I should not be able to do the same? So he decided to enter into this military service of God by forming himself this order, the Jesuits. But in his mind was to fight the enemies of God as a military congregation. Military kind, no? Like. And this is the moment in which appears St. Ignatius. It was very successful. Why? Because we have to understand that the spirit of fight is what we need the most when there is a big crisis. At that moment was the Protestant crisis, was the threat against the faith, against the church everywhere, but now more than ever. So I want to stress out that point for you. Because Catholics are losing the key point of this battle is that we are engaging in the most dangerous and difficult and powerful and tremendous battle in the history of mankind, and ever. Will be the, this is the greatest battle ever will be will happen in mankind. But we are undergoing in this moment. This is exactly what the Apocalypse says. The Apocalypse says that the army, he saw that the women and Saint Michael waging war against the serpent and the military, the followers of the serpent. The great sign in the sky was the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that was in the 19th century, the Miraculous Medal fulfilled literally that vision. The Immaculate Conception crushing the head of the serpent. Exactly in the moments in which Marxism, rationalism, liberalism, and communism and modernism starting coming up after the French Revolution. So that was the battle cry of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Miraculous Medal, La Salette, Lourdes, the Pope making the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, because the Immaculate Conception is the key point, because she crushed the head of the serpent directly, so the devil. And the Apocalypse said that the serpent, after being attacked by the women, he will strive to hard to attack the heel. So the humble children of Mary, so the followers of Christ, the good servants, the humble servants, are the heel, so the lower part, the humble ones, who are those who are making the mystical body of God to be standing up. The humble ones are the stronger ones, the humble. So it is important to know that, because in the vision of Leo XIII, he has the vision on at the end of the 19th century that the devil was about to receive permission from God to control the Catholic Church from the top and to empty it, to modify it, to try to destroy it completely. In that vision, the other 13 saw the necessity of placing Saint Michael the Archangel as the protector of the heart of the church, which is the Mass, and also oblige all the priests in the whole world to start praying the Saint Michael the Archangel at the end of Mass, precisely to prevent the devil of taking over the church. That was the reason. It's very important at this point. That was the reason. So what happened? The moment in which was removed Saint Michael the Archangel from the Mass, that was the moment in which the devil took over the Catholic Church. And the true secret was fulfilled on Fatima. The true secret was exactly that. The true secret of Fatima was that the devil shall manage to infiltrate into the church and to shall manage to go to the top and to govern from the top, the Catholic Church, to empty it, to change it, to destroy it from the very inside. And that literally took place 1964. At that moment, Paul VI, who took was elected, we know that he was a high-ranking Freemason. The first thing that he did, he allowed to be done, is a black mass. A black mass was done in the Pauline Chapel in the Vatican. And soon after that, Saint Michael was removed from the mass, meaning the devil took over completely. It's Vatican II. Closing that Vatican II with the devil striking completely the documents with a new religion, a new aim for the church, a new aim for mankind, a new aim for the sacraments, a different reason of believing. So a completely new religion was made up on those 63, 64, and 65. The devil took over. Catholic Church. This is why the Blessed Virgin Mary wanted this terrible secret to be revealed at the latest 1960. And Sister Lucy asked why it should be revealed 1960 on the as the latest date. He said, because it will be almost happening. Will be about to happen, this true secret. It's why I want to be revealed, because by revealing the true secret, the reason was that the Catholic Church will not have the Vatican II Council, which is precisely was the scoop to take over the Catholic Church by the devil and the Freemasonry. So by revealing the true secret, people will have realized, especially the prelates, bishops, that the council has to stop, because that was the aim of the Freemasonry, to take over the church, to change it, and to destroy it. So is the true secret will have been revealed in 1960 of the latest, the council Vatican II will have not taken place. And we will be good. And the mass will be in the whole world, the Tridentine mass will be the only mass. It's important, Dara, to understand what is happening in this moment. Because the devil is still governing the church, and not only the church, the governments, is governing the education system, is governing the medical fields, the technology, is preparing his kingdom. So what is his kingdom? Is the Antichrist kingdom. To control everything according to his own creation, his own mindset. So he wants to replace basically the Catholic Church with a ecumenical apostate church. To replace human nature by a transhuman transformation by his technology that is being implemented, especially through the shot, that we know very well, the shot. And by lies everywhere, by controlling the banks, the money, the politics, social, education system, the devil is ready to implement this communist control upon the whole world. Will be commandatory, all this system, to comply with all the rules that are going to put in place. So this is why you have to read the Apocalypse. We have to read. All this, what is happening today, in this moment, is what was foretold by our Lord. Basically, the Blessed Virgin Mary, since the miraculous medal apparition and Lourdes, La Salette, Fatima, is preparing us for this battle. And she told Sister Lucy, tell the world that the last means that God is going to give the world to be saved is the Most Holy Rosary and the consecration to the Immaculate Heart. She didn't mention Mass, she didn't mention sacraments, Holy Communion, confession, priest, which is the most important, because almost will be none in this moment. You are witnesses of that. We don't have priests, Mass, true Mass, and true sacraments anymore. The true presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in knowing the new Mass is not there anymore. This is important in order for us to understand what is going on in this moment. What is going on? The answer is, the devil is governing everywhere. So we cannot trust at all. Yes, those who are in the medical fields, the educational system, and the noble sort of church. We cannot trust them at all. They are set agents of the devil in this moment, working for the devil. So we're in a catacombs, military survival mode. If you don't understand that, we are going to lose the battle. We are going to be deceived. We are going to lose this battle. We are going to be completely going to the on the mainstream wave of apostasy. This is why if you see those things in this light, you understand that the devil in the Apocalypse says that because he knows that time is running over, that he has a very little time left to him. And you may wonder how much. So usually God doesn't give numbers, okay? He doesn't like to give numbers. But there is two numbers that God gives to make us have a clue what is going on and how much longer we have to resist this diabolical government. These two numbers is first, Luke 13. One of the sources said that in this vision of Luke 13, the devil asked God 60 years. Another version says 100 years, but I think doesn't fit that version of 100 years. Fits very well the version which says that God will allow the devil 60 years to do whatever he wants with the Catholic Church. Without being destroyed completely, yes, of course, because it's the promise. The promise of our Lord Christ that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the Church. But nevertheless, God allowed the devil to enter, infiltrate, and as Alex said, that the Rome will become the seat of the Antichrist and lose the faith, yes. Rome will lose the faith. So if you count 60 years from 64, when St. Michael the Archangel was removed from the Mass, from the protection of the Church and the Black Mass and Vatican II, you count from 60 years and 2024, should be over, that kingdom of the devil. We're speaking about 3 years, no? Maybe. Hopefully before that. Because our Lord said that those days will be shortened for the sake of the elect. So we'll be shortened. I think we'll be shortened, but that depends upon our prayers. But in the meanwhile, there's another clue of how long will be or how much we are advanced in the apocalypse. And it's the prophet Daniel. The prophet Daniel says in chapter 9 and chapter 12, you should read it, says that the Antichrist will be already on the world working when we see two events. He said, when we see the abomination of desolation in the holy place, and also when we see the abolition of the perpetual sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, when these two events are fulfilled, it is a sign that the Antichrist is already governing through the devil, the Church, and the world. And from that moment on, he will have 3 years and a half to govern and to do whatever he wants. The persecution. To implement his power and his government, what he has done in these 3 years and a half. The final battle in the apocalypse. Final battle between St. Michael and the Blessed Virgin Mary against the devil and the Antichrist. We are in this very moment. This is the very moment. I think these 3 years and a half started July 16, when Francis tried. He will never will do that. He doesn't have the power to do that, but he tried to say to the whole world that the trying to manage abolished. This is what's the aim, to abolish it completely. Because in order to say the Tridentine Mass now, you have to accept Vatican II and the new Mass, and to be under the bishops, modern bishops. So basically, means it's abolished the Catholic religion, the true Mass, and you have now to be Novus Ordo, everybody. That was the motto proprio of Francis, July 16th, just two weeks ago. So this is why we must be in this context, to know how to fight. So don't expect nothing from the governments, the bishops, from the medicine fields, from the educational fields. On the contrary, they are enemies to us. They want to try to attack completely and to make us slaves of the devil, of the Antichrist system. So what we have to do is to resist with the rosary, the consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary, practicing the consecration, but also keeping the faith, resisting and compromising with the government, with the devil, with the Antichrist, with the system, until the last consequences. Trusting in the Blessed Virgin Mary, the key. This is the times in which she will multiply the bread. She will give us water out of nothing. She's going to protect us against invisible, make us invisible even, if it's necessary, to protect us from those who will be persecuting us. So it's a time of heroic virtues. It's time of prepare for martyrdom. It's not by blood, we must have the spirit of the martyrs in this moment. Don't expect easy moments, easy times, easy life. No. It's exactly what I want to explain to you all this, is that you will not pursue easy life. Children, this is difficult moments. We must increase our prayer life, increase our charity towards God and towards the neighbor, increase ejaculatory prayers, increase our penances, especially to get rid of whatever has to do with this new world order system. So get rid of the TV, no TV at all. See? The internet should be checked, completely checked by the parents, and should be in a public place. Yes? And of course, nothing about vaccine, of course, not even vaccine. Not to be in the education system, no anymore. Homeschooling is the only thing. The only thing permissible in this moment is homeschooling. No doubt about that. No doubt. They will even make the shots to the schools without permission of the parents. They have already those laws. And to have the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ on your heart means you want the cross to be your nourishing the grace that you need. So you need graces. You will not have prayers and masses. You will not have access to the sacraments anymore very soon. But you have the cross and the Blessed Virgin Mary. The main sources of all the graces is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary. So you have the source of all graces there. Loving Mary and loving the cross. Loving your own cross. Don't forget that your cross is united to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you embrace your cross, you embrace our Lord Jesus Christ's cross, and a shower of blessings comes upon you. So your duty of state, your obedience, your prayers, this is what is where grace can come from for you. Humility, especially. If we are not humble, we will be cursed by God also, like the others. He said very clear, I don't give my grace to the proud. I give my grace to the humble. Humble is the one who faces the reality that we are nothing, God is everything. If I am nothing means I don't deserve nothing. I pursue nothing for me. I don't want an easy life. I don't want to be cozy. I don't want to be loved by the others if it's not the will of God. So I am willing to suffer. Whatever, even martyrdom. Only a humble one can say that. If we don't want to suffer, if we don't want to obey, it's because we are proud. If we think that we deserve good treatment or justice, or we deserve to be loved, we are not humble. The humble one knows that he is nothing, that he deserves nothing, he has nothing but God. He's content with God. God is his treasure. It's why we cannot fear the government. We cannot fear being killed. We cannot fear the devil, neither. We cannot fear the world, which is swallowing up everything. It's why we cannot make compromises with the world. Neither with our pride. This is the key. This is why we need humility. Humility to overcome our pride. We need the truth and the faith, the real doctrine, to overcome the world and the devil. So this is the battle. This is the battle. Severe, tremendous battle. This is the time that we are living through. So we have to encourage each other to do better, to pray better, to study our faith, to get, to be, leave behind all your petty attachments to the world, to the TV, to useless things and wasting of time things. And now is the moment to put yourself on the ground as a soldier, to fight for the Blessed Virgin Mary. Just think well, think about that. A soldier in the battlefield, he has no family in that moment. He has no home. He has no food. He has no provisions. He has just his weapons and his will and his and the obedience that he had to give to the general. And he can die in any moment. It's why we have to feel as soldiers in this moment. Ready to fight and to keep our life and to surrender this world and whatever this world has. We might be despoiled from everything, doesn't matter. We have God. Nobody can take away God from us. Nobody can take the Blessed Virgin Mary from us. Nobody. It's why we should keep peaceful, happy, joyful. Because the battle will be won soon, very soon. Hopefully 2 years. Ladies, maybe 3 years, and the 224, we don't know. But after that will be the great triumph of the Blessed Virgin Mary, her Immaculate Heart, and those who were faithful to the end will be shall be saved, our Lord said. You remember that? He who persevere to the persevere to the end shall be saved. The glorious moment, especially for the children. They will be led through these things. We might be hiding soon. We might be fleeing soon. We might be despoiled from our homes, our families soon. Our jobs, money, doesn't matter. Sickness, whatever, doesn't matter. We have our Lord and the Blessed Virgin with us. And St. Paul says, if God is with us, who is against us? So we need humility, a spirit of fight, more devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and love for the cross. And we have all that we need to face this great fight, this battle. So we pray to St. Ignatius to give us this strength that we need, this example that we need to be soldiers of Christ, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.